The Mark Steiner Show is made possible by MECU, Baltimore's credit union, and the Maryland Department of Housing and Community Development. Hello, I'm Mark Steiner.
And I'm Anthony McCarthy.
And we welcome you today. We are going to spend the first hour, half an hour talking with three prominent state senators about their responses to the State of the State address.
Heavy hitters.
Heavy hitters. Senator Pinsky, Senator Pugh, and Senator Pipkin. And we will be talking to Stephanie Rawlings Blake in the second half an hour of this program, our about to be mayor. And then we come back with a rip-roaring roundtable of Republicans and Democrats talking about the future of the state. So stay with us at 410-319-8888. We'll be right back with your thoughts right after we get you home safe and come back from WEAA traffic. Stay with us. Hello, I'm Mark Steiner.
And I'm Anthony McCarthy.
And welcome. We are in this first half an hour program. We will be joined by Senator Catherine Pugh, who is represents District 40 in the Maryland State Senate. We are also joined by Senator Paul Pinsky, who represents District 22 in Prince George's County. And Senator, Senator Alan Kittleman is with us instead. Senator, so welcome, Senators. Good to have you all with us.
Good to be here.
Good to be here with you.
We'd like to get your initial reactions to what you thought of the State of the State speech before we run into very specific questions. Why don't we start with Senator Pugh?
Well, I thought it was inspiring. I like the focus of creating jobs, saving jobs, and protecting jobs. I thought that was important. I really like the tax credits for helping to get people off of the unemployment rolls. We are now at 7.5% unemployment in the state of Maryland. I think that we do need to focus on how do we create more jobs in the state of Maryland and how do we leverage what we have to increase the opportunities for other people out there. So I think that that's a step in the right direction as well as the Heritage Tax Credit Program.
Senator Pinsky?
Well, Mark, you know, I think the people across the state are pretty anxious and distraught. I mean, the economy's bad, and they're feeling it. And I think today the governor chose not to make any grandiose promises nor applaud accomplishments in any kind of great way. He took a sort of a modest, restrained approach. And I thought that was right. You know, I don't think people want to hear, you know, how wonderful I've been, or even though there's been some great accomplishments in the last 3 years, or about promises. And I think it was a very modest speech. It was a reasonable tone. It was, I don't want to call it spiritual, but more about individuals as much as government. And I think that's right. Obviously, we're on a very scaled-back budget, so there's not a lot of money for grand initiatives.
Uh-huh.
And I think that was reflected in what he had to say. It was about people coming together and leveraging other resources and putting themselves forward and being aggressive and using government to use the use of the partnership rather than any kind of expansive spending. So I thought it hit the right tone. And, you know, I don't always go for modest, but I have to tell you, I thought it was a very reasoned, appropriate speech.
And Senator Kittleman.
Well, I have to start by saying my friend, Senator Pinsky, is a very modest person. He is modest. I sat next to him for 2 years in committee. I have great respect for him as well as my fellow Senator Pugh, who I sit on finance with. You know, I thought that the governor certainly gives a good speech. I thought the one thing I could certainly say that I agree with him is that the Marylanders come together when we face challenges and we'll be able to overcome it. I must admit, though, I mean, I'm sure you would assume that being from the other party, I do have some differences of opinion. I think that that while his words were good, I really didn't see a whole lot of concrete plans about how he's going to help. The tax credit, while it's something, what I hear from business leaders is that a $3,000 tax credit is not going to change their decision to hire somebody right now because they're not hiring people because they don't have work. It's not because they want more tax breaks. And so while I think it's a good thing, it's just not something that's really going to make a difference right now. And And so I think that we need to have more substantial efforts to help with jobs.
Senator Pugh, Senator Kittleman just mentioned the $3,000 tax credit. To a small business, would that $3,000 tax credit to take someone off our unemployment rolls, would that make a big difference?
Well, I think it will. When you talk about some of these home health care businesses where they're hiring home health care workers and you've got all these training programs around the state, I'm talking about people who are doing some of the basic nursing care for people, expensive, but it is a business, in fact, that's growing in the state of Maryland. So certainly to provide, when you're talking about somebody who's making $25,000, $30,000 a year, to take them off the tax rolls and you're going to hire someone to be able to look in that direction as opposed to, you know, any other direction, I certainly do think it will help. I also think it helps some of the big businesses as well. I mean, you know, we talk about fiscal responsibility in the state, but the government certainly is not the only place where people are being hired. There's a nursing shortage in the state of Maryland. There are nurses who are unemployed. There are industries that are hiring. We talked about the port today and the various jobs that are being created right there in the port. So I think that it certainly will make a difference that people will look to some of these folks who are unemployed and give them an opportunity to get back to work. I mean, the jobs are being created, so why not utilize the tax credit in order to, one, solve someone else's unemployment problem and create an opportunity for yourself?
Let me ask the three of you this question, and we're going to start with Senator Kittleman and go around the room, Senator Pinsky and Senator Pugh. I mean, I really appreciated the end of the speech with Martin O'Malley and what he was talking about with One Maryland. Let me make a disclaimer here that I am part of the One Maryland group that meets. That's an unofficial kind of group that meets, a little think tank, and Senator Pinsky has also been part of those discussions as well. That aside, because I wanted to make that clear, I'm very curious as to how the three of you think we grapple with the very real problem of the deficits that Maryland faces. I mean, what we've seen so far from when I talked to Governor O'Malley on the first day of the session and to others since then, is that we see that we are going to be borrowing from different funds and that exist to kind of help balance the budget, hoping for the stimulus money with a new Republican senator, number 41, as he's being called, that is in doubt. It's not clear that all that money could come to Maryland, that many things could happen to change that in the course of negotiations on Capitol Hill in Washington. So I'm curious how you think that you three have to, as representing the rest of you, have to help Maryland tackle with this really serious problem we have. We might be able to plug the dike this year, but but we're still in a very dire threat of a deficit flood coming over us, as many other states are. Senator Pinsky, let me start with you.
Well, you know, the stimulus money is for 2 years, so 2011, this coming year, we have a fair amount of money from the stimulus, but there's no commitment beyond that. And there's a lot of discussion whether there'll be an additional Arab Recovery Act from the federal government. And some people talk about it being a cliff that we've sort of artificially been able to maintain or close to maintain, and what happens when the money runs out in the third year. And I think it's a problem. I don't think this recession is going away anytime soon. I would like to be more optimistic, but I think the deregulation and what happened in Wall Street and the housing market has been devastating. The problem is, if you take like the $3,000 tax credit, and I don't know if it's going to work or not. I'm not a small business person. The problem is, if you increase it, you know, it increases money, the pressure on the budget, and we have to have a balanced budget by state law. So if you try to increase that, that means you have to cut somewhere else, and I'm not sure we can do that. You know, tax break after tax break conceptually might be great, but you have to be able to fund it. And we're already pulled in many directions. Like you said, the budget is being put together with tape and spit. You know, it would be great if there was another stimulus package from the federal government that actually started the Civilian Conservation Corps and put people back to work on bridges or roads or whatever and really stimulated the economy in a almost 1930s way. I'm not sure they have the money to actually do it. So I'm not sure exactly what we need to do to ride this out. It's starting to creep back. I'm just not sure how long that's going to take.
Senator Kittleman, then we'll go to Senator Pugh.
Sure. I certainly share Senator Pinsky's view about that. We, the Republican caucus, had a caucus meeting this morning, and some folks from our budget analyst office, the Department of Legislative Service, came over And it's interesting, Senator Pinsky used the word cliff. That's exactly what they said to us. They said that this budget puts us up to the cliff. And because we don't anticipate federal funds next year, I mean, after 2011, the next budget year, 2012, that we are facing a huge, huge deficit. And that, you know, we really do have to start making some of those hard choices now. And I'm not saying it's easy. I don't relish the governor's job. I can't imagine anyone running for governor this year because of that job. But I look at it and say that, you know, the people of Maryland understand the problem that we're in. And I think they would really like us to just say, we got to stop spending so much. I know it's going to hurt some areas. I know it's going to make it difficult for people. But I think they'd prefer to say, you know, let's take the heat now and not prolong it over and over, because we're facing $2 billion plus deficits as far as the eye can see, even without the federal funds.
Senator Pugh?
Well, let me just say this. Maybe I'm just a little bit more optimistic because, one, I think we have cut this budget. I mean, this is one of the smallest budgets that we've had in some time. But I do think that we have a responsibility as legislators and those who are responsible for governing the state to begin to look at what do we need to do in order to increase the opportunities in our state to be able to generate additional revenues. And what is that going to be? You know, if we are, in fact, One Maryland, what is it that we as One Maryland need, you know, what do we need to be looking at? You know, we're talking about slots in the state of Maryland. Is slots going to be adequate in terms of adding additional income to the state of Maryland? And I would venture to say that we probably need to go beyond slots if, in fact, we're looking at it from the perspective of tourism being an industry, specifically in Baltimore. I mean, how do you bring in something like slots when we're about 5 years behind, and not look at gaming tables and entertainment and all those other things? Nobody wants to talk about taxes or increasing taxes, because taxes at this stage of the game, people are just not are very pessimistic about adding additional tax. But there are some areas that we will be, I think, that we'll look at down the road, maybe not this year certainly, but I think that we'll be looking at some point whether we do an alcohol tax, gas tax. Nobody wants to see that. But we've got to look at where the revenue is going to come from to continue to provide services for the citizens of the state of Maryland, but at the same time reduce, you know, at the same time we have the responsibility for reducing the cost of government. Also, the other issue for me is looking at, you know, how do you continue to streamline, you know, how do you continue to streamline government and not deal with the fact that you're going to increase unemployment in the state of Maryland. So I think we've got a lot of issues as a body that we need to sit down and look at, but I think we need to be more forward-thinking and understand that, you know, this is not, this economy is not something that was just created in the state of Maryland, but it's something that's happening nationwide. But we've got to be able to figure out how do we see our way through this. And it just means, I believe, putting our minds together and being more creative in terms of our thought processes of what we need to do in order to move Maryland forward.
I think we also have Senator Nancy Jacobs on the phone as well, Republican.
Hey, Mark,
Senator.
How are you?
Welcome, Nancy. Good to have you with us.
Thank you.
Senator Jacobs, since you just joined us, this is Anthony McCarthy. I want to ask you, the governor was very pragmatic about a lot of things, but very optimistic. One thing I didn't, and I read the speech several times, I watched some of the video outtakes of the speech, he never talked about how we're going to enhance revenue.
He never talked about the deficit that's been created over the last 4 years.
Well, so, actually, over the last 8 years.
4 years. Let's not just put it on the last 4 years, because we've been, you know, coming back into special sessions for a while and looking at deficits for a while.
The last time that we were in special session with Governor Ehrlich, I believe, was over tort reform. Medical malpractice. We weren't in looking at what to do with a deficit, because he left
Senator Jacobs,
Governor
what about
O'Malley
the deficit?
A $1 billion.
Senator Jacobs, what about the deficit? What about revenue enhancement? What can we look at? What can we put
we
on the table?
We need to be looking at, and I think that's where I am. It's, I mean, together, collectively, I think that we can come together and talk about some creative ways to stimulate our economy. And, you know, I think when we talk about stimulus money, for example, stimulus money ought to be used to generate additional income for the state.
Right.
What
stimulus
is it that we
money.
Need to do in order to do that if we're going to take stimulus money? And at the same time, what other revenue streams, because we can't just keep criticizing where we are. We need to figure out how do we move forward.
Well, one of the
and
big problems
get,
with the stimulus
enough
money
and people well, in the General Assembly to be able to do that.
Let me let Senator Jacobs have
One of the big problems with the stimulus money is that, you know, it should be going for something like one-time expenditures. But what we are doing by taking this money is committing ourselves to future spending. And that's about the last thing we should be doing right now when we are looking at the deficit that we're looking at. It's really going to hit us in 2011 and 2012. We've got to stop doing this.
Well, Senator Jacobs, I think you'd find more agreement than you would have disagreement with you. But the concern here is, what do we need to do? I mean, collectively, I think we're an intelligent body of folk. What are the concepts and ideas?
Well, one of the things I heard you mention, and I just came on just briefly in the middle of your comments about it, was the alcohol tax, the possibility of raising an alcohol tax. I think there have been some studies on that that have shown that it costs $2,500.
What cost $2,500?
It cost 2,500 jobs. I'm sorry, if we were to do that.
No, I didn't say that that's what we need to do. I said there are things that we can look at. I'm asking for suggestions in terms of, and I think that's what Mark is asking. I think that's what Anthony was asking. What is it we can do?
What's on the table, yeah.
Well, I mean, if we were forced to...
we can't continue to sit and criticize. Let's talk about what we can do.
We need to look at gambling
and other revenue streams. But I don't know what all those revenue streams are, but I do know that we've got some intelligent people in this General Assembly that can come up with some great ideas that we can come together on and figure out how we move the state forward.
Well, I'd love to hear them. So far, I haven't really heard much of anything that's going to send us forward and help us to get out of debt.
Well, I mean, let me go around the room here again. I mean, if we were to think of a way to address this deficit and the $1 billion, $2 billion hole we face, depending on which year you're looking at and how we're going to fill it,
right?
Then my question would be, what are the conversations that you're having about what? Where that go? Are we going to cut $2 billion more out of a $13 billion budget that comes out of Maryland, or are we going to figure out ways to enhance Paul Pence, let me start with you and then go around the room. Are we going to figure out ways that we have to enhance revenues, and what would that be?
Well, look, you either cut spending or increase revenue. I mean, there are not a whole lot of other options. You know, I just met with someone from the Department of Health and Mental Hygiene, and their department is experiencing cuts, and one area of cuts are people who provide the oversight on summer camps, day camps, overnight camps. So they're to the point where they may not be able to have the resources to look and investigate camps to see if they have the fingerprinting, the resources, the health forms, the important oversight to protect the citizens of the state. You know, the Department of the Environment has cut their staff to make sure chemicals aren't dumped into the rivers and streams where we have mercury, which already is a hazard in the bay and tributaries. You know, we're in a situation where we get to a point where we're not protecting the people of the state. And I think to say we just have to cut another 10% or 20% gets to the point of irresponsibility, to be honest with you. And I think if there are some egregious examples where money's being really wasted, then they should be looked at, obviously. You know, in a budget of $13 billion, will you find some money somewhere that could be spent better? Absolutely. But playing in the weeds, a few bucks here, a few bucks there, is not going to solve our problem. And I have yet to hear suggestions of where we can save $200 million, $500 million, $700 million that's not going to negatively affect the quality of life and the protection of the people of the state. So I do think we have to look at revenue. Now, look, there's an election year coming up. People are facing difficulty. You don't want to raise income tax or sales tax. You can't, okay? I do think, you know, in the coming year or years, things like alcohol should be looked at. It's been, 50, 55 years? I don't believe the figures where it says it's going to cost 2,500 jobs, with all due respect. You know, we still have situations where the largest corporations of the nation, not just of the state, of the nation and the world, are avoiding paying their corporate income tax in the state of Maryland. 30 or 40% of the very largest, we don't know who they are, but it could be a Walmart, it could be a Bank of America, aren't paying any corporate income tax. And we could be, at the figure of 2006, potentially have collected $170 million of lost revenue. So I think there are things to do, and I think there are sectors that could afford it and not be negatively affected, in spite of the fear mongering. But I think we have to be very careful of taking a knife and saying we can easily cut hundreds of millions of dollars in our state budget. I'm just not sure.
Senator, let me just come in for a moment because we're getting close to a quorum here. I think I can have a vote. We've just been joined by Senator Pipkin as well, Republican senator. And I'm only identifying that way because I'm trying to let people know who's on the air with us if they don't know you all. Senator Pipkin, welcome. Good to have you with us.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
Take a minute just to respond to what you heard Senator Pinsky say.
Well, I disagree. I think there are areas of the budget. I think this is probably the first year of the 8 years that I've been here where I think people are ready to have the discussion on what the size and scope of government should be and what we're willing to fund. And I think everything should be on the table. I think that includes K through 12 education. I think that includes the retirement plan that's 100% picked up by the state for the teachers. I think we need to look at the health programs that, again, are a big part of the budget. I think, you know, the challenge is that the governor chose to take stimulus dollars that took a lot of things off the table and large chunks of the budget. So when revenues declined, we saw, you know, issues such as the Upper Shore Community Mental Health Center get closed because we didn't have the funding, and you know, we had to take those budget cuts out of a very small slice of the budget. So I think that I think all areas of the budget need to contribute, and I think we can get the tens of millions and hundreds of millions and billions of dollars that can we have there, and I think the citizens are ready for that.
Senator Pipkin, this is Anthony McCarthy. You talked about finding these savings, but what about enhancements? I mean, is there ever a time the governor just went on and on about pulling people together, one Maryland? Is there ever a time when Democrats and Republicans will come together and say, yeah, we have to have a serious look at not only how we're overspending, but how can we increase revenue?
Well, I just don't believe that we're an undertaxed state. I think
I agree. Yes.
I have statistics on my side that says to some extent, whether it's 48th, 49th, or 50th as far as rating as business climate, or that we're 1, 2, 3, or 4 for taxation, that we're not a state that's historically has been very bashful about taxing its citizenry. And, I don't run into a lot of people that feel that they're undertaxed in the state of Maryland. So I'm not so sure that the issue, you know, until we have the issue related to discussion about spending, that, you know, that we can ever really get our hands around it. Now, you know, we can get locked into the circle, more spending, some people wanting higher taxes, but I just don't think we're a low tax state, and I think the numbers kind of bear that out.
Yeah.
Before we turn back to another Republican senator, I mean, it's one of the two Democrats here to join in, either Catherine Pugh or Paul Pinsky. Catherine, would you like to respond?
Well, I don't think we're under tax state either. I mean, when I look at us raising the, and I did this during the summer, we raised the sales tax to by one penny, you know, and I asked, well, why didn't we do it? Why didn't we do 2 cents? When you look around to states around us that are 7, 8, 9, even as high as 10 cents. I also think, again, I mean, that we really need to take a look at what other revenue streams can we generate. I still think we need to take a look at this whole issue of gambling and table games and what we're doing and what impact slots are going to really have on the state of Maryland if, in fact, they generate what we're projecting that they're going to generate. We certainly weren't able to – we didn't project the deficit to be what it is. So, I mean, I question where we are with slots revenue and whether it's really going to bring in what it ought to, you know, what's being projected and what the impact of the surrounding counties are going to be and the other states are going to be and whether or not we need to be moving full-fledged forward. So, I mean, I think there are a lot of things that collectively, if we sat down together, we could look at and come up with, to me, that makes sense in terms of moving the state forward. And I think that that's where we ought to be because these are issues that aren't going away. This, as was said earlier, I mean, this economy is going to be down for a while. So we need to really sit down together and figure out how do we move it forward. And I think we can.
Before we only have a few minutes left, very quickly, I mean, to Alan and then Paul, very quickly, do you agree that we are overtaxed and can that we need to cut back on that? Alan?
Oh, yeah, thank you. First of all, I got to say, this is like the first time I've ever been anywhere where they're majority Republicans. We don't have that very often in the Senate of Maryland.
It's a Steiner show. We try to be even-handed.
No, I appreciate that.
Wonderland. Everything is upside
good
down.
Yeah, you're right. You're right, Senator Pinsky. Anyway, I mean, I certainly agree with Senator Pipkin and Senator Jacobs that I think we are overtaxed. I really think that maybe we're missing the lesson of Virginia, New Jersey, and Massachusetts here. I think that the people, and I've gone around the state of Maryland and talked to a lot of people over the last several months, they're saying, you know, I've got to live within my means. Why can't the government live within their means? And why do you have to have new taxes when you increased taxes $1.4, $1.5 billion only 2 years ago, 3 years ago? Why can't you live within your means? And so, you know, it's not going to be easy. And as I said earlier, it's not like this is a simple problem to correct, but I think the people of Maryland are telling us We can't afford to go ahead and just tax and get more money. We have to live within our budget. Can you guys please do that in Annapolis? And I think we're missing that lesson that we should have been listening from in Massachusetts, that people are saying we've had enough with too much spending, and we want people to listen to us.
So we've got to go back to the minority Democrats here. Paul Pinsky?
Yeah.
Don't get used to it.
Again, the question still remains, where are the revenue generators for the state of Maryland? Because whether you believe this budget needs to continue to be cut or not, you still have to look forward in the state of Maryland because, you know, population isn't decreasing, population is increasing, people want certain services, and we're not going to be able to accommodate them. So where does the revenue come from?
Paul? Senator Pinsky?
Yeah, you know, I think the working and middle-income people do have a tax burden, and it's particularly hard in an economy like this when they're either working fewer hours or salaries not going up or sadly, if they're out of work. I'm not sure every sector has been carrying their weight, and I know some of my Republican friends might be aghast at this, but, you know, when you have large corporations, I mean, we're talking about the big ones, you know, that some people feel, and again, we can't be sure, Walmart's not paying, we don't know exactly who because of proprietary information. When you have large corporations, multi-million-dollar corporations, not paying any corporate income tax, that's a problem. You know, and I think you talk to working middle-income people, they say that's not, it's almost like, you know, the Wall Street issue, when you get CEOs getting compensation packages of tens of millions of dollars. They say that's unfair, and I think I wouldn't, you know, be seeking a broad-based tax on working middle-income people. That's absolutely wrong. We used to have a pretty flat income tax.
I think we should have one state flat tax.
Well, you know, that's a
property tax. I mean, you know, if we're one Maryland, let's just have one state flat property tax that everybody pays same across the board.
Just
one Maryland.
Well, Senator, I guess we have to get ready to take a break here. We're about to be joined in a couple of minutes by soon-to-be Mayor Stephanie Rawlings-Blake. And in all fairness, we haven't heard from Senator Jacobs. So give us a less-than-a-minute close on your thoughts here.
Ways that we could cut spending. We could look at being more efficient. We could do an independent audit that looks at the possibilities of consolidating agencies. You know, we've formed some new agencies in the last few years that perhaps didn't need to be there.
This was an interesting forum to have Senator Nancy Jacobs, Senator Paul Pinsky, Senator Catherine Pugh, Senator E.J. Pipkin, and Senator Alan Kittleman join us here. Really was very enlightening, I think, for all of our listeners and for us to hear. We look forward to talking to all of you again during the session. Thank you so much for taking some of your time for Anthony McCarthy and I in this first half hour of the show.
Thank you very much.
Look forward to working with our
thank you.
Thank you.
Care.
We're going to take a very short break. I want to remind you the Mark Steiner Show is made possible by Johns Hopkins Medicine. For the 19th consecutive year, the Johns Hopkins Hospital is ranked number one by U.S. News and World Report in their annual Best Hospitals survey. Find out more about the nation's top hospital at hopkinsmedicine.org. And we'll be right back with soon-to-be Mayor Stephanie Rawlings-Blake.